You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host Frank Santopadre and our engineer Frank Verderosa. And this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions. And we have the author of the book, Teen Movie Hell, A Crucible of Coming-of-Age Comedies from Animal House to Zapped. Mike McBeardo McFadden.
he's laughing through the introduction of his name. That's always a good start.
Thank you. Yes. Good spirits.
Yes.
Now, this is something. We just, as this is being recorded, we just interviewed Charlie Fox.
Yeah, the composer of Zapped just walked out the door.
Oh,
yes.
Gosh. Yeah. Wow.
He was just here. And Gilbert sang three songs from Zapped, Mike, not one.
Wow.
And I remembered those. I wasn't trying to remember them. I remembered those because...
Did Charlie Fox remember them?
No.
The first two, I had to sing it, and then he remembered. The third one, he had no recollection he wrote it. Because he said he writes so much. Some of it.
Also, they're the songs from Zapped. Nobody's going to remember them.
Even the composer.
Now, yeah. Zapped is one of those movies, you know, all these teen comedies promise to be great jerk-off films, and they always disappoint. And it's like, here with Zapped, you know, Scott Baio, Willie Ames, Scatman Crothers, and of course Heather Thomas,
and of course LaWanda Page.
Yeah, yes, please. Yes. And so you've got Heather Thomas there, and scenes where through telekinesis he rips her blouse off, and it immediately flashes to some stunt tits.
Yeah, you know, and it even says the first credit as the movie ends is a body double was used for Miss Heather Thomas's nude scene and photograph.
Wow.
Yes. There's a doctored photograph in that.
Very disappointing to you, Gilbert?
Absolutely. And she had the greatest man-made breast ever.
did Scatman use a body double?
He did. LaWanda didn't.
I see.
In the flying salamis attacks.
And our friend Eddie Deason's in that one, too, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Because Heather Thomas was so hot. And it's this show, and it's the phoniest. I hate when it's really those phony. They might as well have flashed the words body double while those tits were showing.
It's face, tits, back to face.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's like cut the head is cut off.
Yeah.
A little context, Mike, before we go into we go into my favorites and Gilbert's favorites. Please. And I knew we'd start off with Zapped because it was the perfect segue since Charles was just here. But your last book, which we talked about, we had you on the show, Heavy Metal Movies.
Yeah.
Which is also indispensable, I will say to our listeners. In fact, I think it inspired an episode that we did. I think your review of The Wicker Man.
Oh, yes, it did. That's right.
The original Wicker Man inspired an episode.
The early days of the Amazing Colossal Obsessions. Yes.
Absolutely. And I should also remind people that Mike is not just the author of this book. He also works with the podcast. He also does Facebook. For us, he runs the Gilbert Gottfried Amazing Colossal Facebook page. He does a wonderful job with that.
Thank you.
Why this project? And it was years in the making.
I was a very horny teenager when these films came along. Fast Times at Ridgemont High opened the very first Friday I started high school of my freshman year, mm-hmm. Ferris Bueller, a film I hate as well as you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
We'll get to that in a moment.
It's nice that you that have
opened
that
the very Friday
that.
After I graduated 4 years later. So working my way through adolescence, these were the movies of my youth, literally. They were made for me, literally.
And you just felt compelled to tell the story
also
of these
like
movies.
Nuts. And that's what I really liked about it. And it's a real snapshot of a time that could never exist again.
Yeah. Although there are some, you make a case in the book, you have a couple of pages of some films in the 21st century that are trying.
Yeah, there's self-aware stuff, but it's even, those are like 20 years old at this point.
Yeah.
And American Pie and stuff.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
When I did USA Up All Night, this was like the brunt of those movies. With tits and ass cut out.
Cut out. They didn't even have cursing in it. But so many people, I mean, I'm 50. I know I'm a spry 50, but so many people younger than I am say that's how they found these films. That's where they found. I was like, why were you watching them?
Yeah.
did you watch these on Up All Night with Gilbert? Did you?
No, at that point, I was a drug addict. So I was having a better time then. I was having much more fun than watching Gilbert and no tits.
Yeah. Got it.
Boy, you don't look it.
he was having more fun than watching you introduce Leanna Quigley.
Yeah, you look like Jack LaLanne.
With her clothes on. Yeah.
With her clothes on.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you described some of these movies as, well, Gilbert alluded to it earlier, you described them as porno movies watered down for adults in the book.
No, for 13-year-olds, yeah.
Oh, for 13-year-olds.
Porno movies watered down for 13-year-olds. That's exactly what they were. Because if you recall, when I was 13, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York City was full of pornography.
It sure was.
Flooded. And, this drove a 13-year-old Irish Catholic boy quite mad. And there was no way, I was way too terrified to attempt to get into the porno theater. But once Porky's came along, I knew I could fake my way into that.
So
the damage was done.
You consider Porky's to be one of the turning point films? For this.
That is the flashpoint of the 80s phenomenon. Yeah.
See, I never really got into the whole porn thing, but I love great R-rated nudity.
Yes, we established that in previous episodes.
I call it Gilbert nudity, and that's like a naked girl doing her taxes.
Dusting a ceiling fan on a stool.
Yes, right, yes.
Well, I'm broadcasting from the Mr. Skin podcast studio.
There you go.
And there is a playlist on the Mr. Skin site called Gilbert Nudity.
Did you know that, Gil?
Oh, yes.
I am so honored.
It's in Jim's new book.
I am so honored. And, okay, there was the movie Private School.
Sure, for girls, yes.
Yeah. Phoebe Cates, Betsy Russell, Matthew Modine.
Michael Zurek.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. And the
you guys
guy,
need to know your own
Ray
podcast.
Walston.
Ray Walston. Yes. And it was a great jerk-off film, with the exception, I thought they screwed up the ending so much, because it was all the girls flashing their asses toward the camera.
Yeah.
And they were just doing like, half ass crack. They didn't.
It was
have
literally a half assed moonshot. Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought this could have been like the greatest part of an Orson Welles film if they had done it right. But it's like they lower it, so it's kind of like that fashion where you see some crack.
Yeah, a little butt cleavage. Yeah. I'm with you. It's infuriating.
Yeah, I hated when they did that.
I'm sorry, Gilbert.
I want them to come
he's
back.
Very angry.
Even though they're in their 70s.
He's very angry.
Kathleen Wilhoit is among them.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes. Yes. Kathleen Wilhoit is in Murphy's Law with Charles Bronson.
Yeah.
And I always loved the description on the TV. It says, police detective wrongly accused of crime goes on the lam with a rude girl.
Mike, tell us something. This was interesting in the book. How did good movies like American Graffiti and Animal House open a door to these kind of pictures?
Well, okay, so the book is basically the period of time it covers, culturally speaking, American Graffiti in 1973 and Dazed and Confused in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
So American Graffiti got it started because it was a huge international blockbuster. So as a result, then every sexploitation, sleazy B-movie company said, nostalgia's hot, teenagers are hot, we'll add boobs and we'll make a killing. And that led to all the cheerleader movies in the 70s and stuff, which were always set in some vague 50s pseudo haze where there'd be a guy with a big blow dried hair and the girl would have a poodle skirt on or something. And be like, hey, let's go to a malt shop. And, and then Animal House is just a work of genius. And also what's interesting is that both those movies are set in 1962.
Yeah. Interesting.
Which is, the cultural moment before the Kennedy assassination and the Beatles. And
so. What about a movie like Private Lessons? That comes up a lot in the book. Do you also see that as a sort of a gateway movie?
Well, that was Private Lessons is the film
Sylvia Kristel.
Sylvia Kristel, and she is the French tutor that gets hired to move into this rich kid's house to tutor him in French. And they fall in love and have an affair. And it was a huge hit. It was dollar for dollar the most profitable film of 1981.
Amazing.
And it was produced by Jack Barry.
Jack Barry, the game show guy?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Did you know that, Gil? That's pretty cool.
Yes. They used their Joker's Wild profits to finance Private Lessons. And that, so the weird thing about that movie is that it's based on a novel called Philly, which I always thought was bizarre on the poster. It says Philly by Dan Greenberg, which is a kidnapping thriller, borders on horror, and it's the same plot, but they just wackied it up, and they added Howard Hessman as the sleazy limo driver who concocts this kidnapping and extortion scheme.
Interesting.
And I remember, this is just getting back to Private School for a second, which was a great jerk-off film, but by no stretch a great film. And one review was one sentence. The critic said, Matthew Modine once starred in a Stanley Kubrick film.
That's how far he had fallen from Private School.
Wow.
But a little trivia on Private School. It's technically a sequel to Private Lessons. No way related, but Private Lessons made so much money, they hired Dan Greenberg to write a sequel. For some reason, it took him 2 years to write the Private School screenplay.
He was probably fighting himself at every turn.
It was very complex.
And Sylvia Kristel, who plays the sex ed teacher in Private School, was contractually obligated to appear in any sequels. Right. So that's why she's
there you go.
She does her little unhappy cameo in Private School.
So Hollywood being Hollywood, these movies were profitable. Not just the good ones like Risky Business and Fast Times, but stuff like Porky's, Joysticks, Private Lessons, even Hot Dog the Movie.
Yes, I'll be presenting here in Chicago in a never-before-seen uncut version with more nudity, Gilbert.
Oh, excellent.
Do tell.
More Shannon Tweed nudity.
Now, then there was the movie that, believe it or not, is a ripoff of Private School. And that was a movie called Sorority Boys.
Yeah, well, that was years later, yeah.
Yeah.
It's essentially a remake of Private School.
Yes.
Yeah. Minus, Ray Walston. So what's the point?
Yeah.
What about one of Gilbert's favorites, which I was surprised to find in the book, Lords of Flatbush?
Oh, yes. Well, I had to include that because it's a direct American Graffiti ripoff.
Yep, sure is.
And I'm from Flatbush.
Right, right. And I know. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, interesting music in that film, too, Gilbert.
Hey.
Oh, don't encourage
him. What do you say? Looks like it's going to be a very fine day. My girl is with me today. Looks like some real fine things are coming my way. Hey. Yeah. Henry Winkler, Sylvester Stallone.
Perry King.
What do you consider
to what makes something eligible for inclusion in the book? What are the components?
It was basically, I thought of it in terms of marketing. The idea was that these were party hardy movies. So they were made about teenagers for teenagers, and they had to be comedies. And the message, the selling point was, hey, kids, there's a wild party here up on the screen. All you have to do is buy a ticket and you're invited.
Mm-hmm. And there was a time period when there was like generous nudity in movies. And that was the time period when Blame It on Rio came out.
Blame It on Rio. Let's talk about that one.
Stanley Donen film.
Stanley, we just lost Stanley Donen.
Yes.
And what was her name again, that girl?
Michelle Johnson.
She was great.
I'm sure we can find her.
There was that, and then another movie with generous nudity. Summer Lovers.
Yes, oh, not a comedy, so not in
not
the book.
Not a comedy. But, yeah, the one Peter Gallagher?
Yeah,
Peter Gallagher and
Randall Kleiser movie.
Daryl Hannah and Patricia Charbonneau.
Who
died at a young age.
Yeah, shortly after that in a car accident.
That's sad. Yeah. That's sad.
That's really makes it difficult when I jerk off.
By the way, the things I learned in reading the book, Mike, I did not know there was a Zapped 2.
Oh, yes!
Zapped again.
Zapped again.
And you know who's in Zapped 2, much to her dismay?
Please tell me.
Linda Larkin, who plays the princess in Aladdin.
There you go.
She didn't have to do any nudity or anything.
Was Willie Ames is born again now? Did that happen? He became like a Bible superhero?
He does a superhero character.
Bible man?
Bible
yes,
man.
Yes!
Right. Let's talk about some of the other ones that I pulled out of the book randomly, because these are movies that we've alluded to on the show before. The movie Class with Jacqueline Bisset.
Andrew McCarthy and Rob Lowe boarding school kids here in Chicago.
Yep.
And Rob Lowe's mom is Jacqueline Bisset, and she has an affair with Andrew McCarthy.
Yeah. And you consider that one, and it was interesting, as I was reading the reviews, I thought, well, which ones does he consider to be successful films? That was among them.
Yeah. No, it's a good movie. Yeah. Well done. And the debut of Virginia Madsen nudity, Gilbert.
Oh, my God, that's right. And I got to say, Zap 2 makes Zap 1 look like Citizen Kane.
Zapped again.
Like Citizen Zapped. Yeah.
Okay. It is. And in that movie, none of the actresses are known, and they have body doubles.
That's true. There's a split pants scene that's a body double.
Yeah, they have these girls with the most obvious body doubles, and yet no one knows who the fuck these girls are.
Here's another one. What is Gorp? Because I was
Gorp
not familiar with Gorp.
Terrible film. Michael Lembeck. It's actually the last American International Pictures release.
That's why I picked it. It was the last Arkoff movie.
Yeah, the last Arkoff movie. It's a summer camp film. Just awful. Dennis Quaid is in it.
Michael Lembeck.
Yeah, Lembeck, son of Harvey Lembeck.
Yep, son of Eric Von Zipper.
That's right. And does not capture the spirit of the Eric Von Zipper films, which really are the most direct inspiration for the 80s.
The beach blanket movies.
There's a movie, you'll know the title, and it's got a talented cast. It blows to high heaven. It sucks. It fucking sucks. But it's got Johnny Depp, Rob Morrow.
Private Resort.
Private Resort.
And Hector Elizondo.
Yeah. Who's very funny in the movie. He's very good.
The three of them are as talented as you could get. Yeah. But, oh, man, does that suck.
Hector Elizondo would be a good guest for this show.
Oh, he'd be great. Yeah.
Here's one we've talked about. We may have even talked about it with you on a previous episode, and I hesitate to call it Mad Magazine's Up the Academy, because Mad Magazine had their name removed.
With Ron Liebman.
With former podcast guest Ron Liebman.
Right, who talked about it and was great.
He did.
Yeah, I mean, an interesting film. You know, it definitely is a cult favorite, and people love it.
Why?
Largely from USA Up All Night. It was infuriating to me as a kid because it was rated R. I was 11 years old when it came out, obsessed with Mad Magazine and not allowed to see it. And it's rated R for no reason.
No, yeah. No nudity.
It directed- was rated R because Animal House was rated R, and it was Warner Brothers' attempt to recreate the success of Animal House by slapping the Mad Magazine Presents on an existing Robert Downey Sr. film.
I think there was a whole thing that had to be cut out of the film. They had a statue of Alfred E. Newman.
You bet. It was in William Gaines' office.
Yes. It's still in the Mad offices.
It's
now
still
in
the
Los
Angeles. It's in the Mad offices. Yeah. They moved the statue. But Gaines took a coin and scratched off the inscription on the statue where it said Mad Magazine Presents Up the Academy. He scratched off the P so that it said Mad Magazine Resents Up the Academy.
And that was the great two-page parody that they did, was Mad Magazine Resents Throw Up the Academy.
Yes, and it's when you would go into the Mad offices, there the statue would greet you.
Now, there's a movie that basically kind of like plays like just your average teen comedy, but ends really sad. I think that's Greatest American Virgin. Last American.
Greatest American Virgin. Right.
I'm going to make
that's what
that
I should have called the
William
book
Cat.
Greatest American Virgin.
I'm going to star in that one. Last American Virgin. Is that the title?
That's it. The Last American Virgin. It's just a wacky, kind of an uptight guy looking for love. His studly friend and the big fat party animal buddy trying to run around and get laid ends with a bloody abortion.
Yes.
Followed by the most like horrifying kick in the balls betrayal of the leading lady against the hero. It ends with him chillingly getting in a car, putting on the radio, and Just Once comes on by Jeffrey Osborne.
Yes. Yes.
And he drives and he's crying. And as he's crying and driving, the credits just start to roll over his face, and that's the end of the movie.
It is so strange because most of the movie is your TNA, teenage sex comedy.
Yeah.
And then it ends like that, and it's like, oh my God, I want to kill myself now.
You know, it's a remake of an Israeli film.
Of course it is.
Called Lemon Popsicle.
Oh, Lemon Popsicle's in the book.
So Lemon Popsicle was a major worldwide phenomenon. It's
that's Gilbert's porn name.
It's American Graffiti ripoff. It's the same plot. It's three pals in Tel Aviv in the 50s, nonstop end-to-end pop hits playing. It was a major blockbuster everywhere in the world except the United States. It didn't translate. The two biggest markets for it were Germany and Japan.
Amazing.
This is a Jewish film.
Amazing. I'll tell you one in the book that has a sad ending that's a good film is Heaven Help Us.
Yeah.
Andrew McCarthy
movie,
picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Worth seeing.
And I tell a little anecdote in that movie, in that review, where I got to see a advanced screening of a terrible film called Playing for Keeps.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a fat guy behind me, and I was like 15, 16 at the time. And he was going on about how funny and how good Heaven Help Us was. And I turned around and kind of gave him a thumbs up, and he gave me one back. It was Harvey Weinstein.
Oi.
Oh.
All you got was the thumb.
Oh,
consider yourself lucky.
Yes. Yeah.
He had directed the Playing for Keeps film that I had just watched.
Yeah.
Or was about to watch.
Yeah. By the way, how many of these did you watch? Did you sit down?
I watched
the lovely Rachel?
Yeah.
You watched every one of them. How many did Dick Miller turn up in?
Well, Rock and Roll High School. Dick Miller is
a good number of them.
He's in a few. He's in one with a genie. I'm trying to picture. Yeah, it blurs together at some point.
Yeah. Our friend Dick Miller.
And it's like all of those films had a formula. They always had to have the fat party animal.
Right, big fat party animal, nerd, cheerleader, jock. Yeah. And fascistic authority figure, usually a principal.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
the Paul Gleason type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a movie that was shown on Up All Night that, you know, terrible, of course. And somewhere late in the movie, a guy finds a book on how to pick up women, and he reads it and becomes an expert. I was wondering if you know that one.
That is not a teen movie.
No?
No, I can't think of what it's called. We used to have the poster at Mr. Skin.
It's called The Sorrow and the Pity.
Gilbert. Yeah.
Not a teen film.
the poster was the guy like in a car with the book called How to Pick Up Women.
Yeah.
The thumbs wow. Up. You got to do some research.
But he was a young adult. Yeah.
And that was an adult film?
Yeah, he was in his 20s.
These are adults who are brain damaged, obviously. Yeah, right.
I was going through the book for titles, and you know, you're right. Some of these could be easily passed for porn titles. The Pom Pom Girls, Hollywood Hot Tubs, Hot T-Shirts, Lunch Wagon. Give Me an F.
Give Me an F.
I remember like, that
I think
one.
I rented these in the 90s.
Give Me an F is the most infuriating film in the book, because that is the greatest teen sex comedy title of all time.
Yeah.
It's set at a cheerleader camp. It's rated R, and it has no nudity.
And they squandered it. Gilbert, by the way, how did you miss being in some of these?
Yeah, I don't know. And we used to show those trauma films all the time.
I hate trauma.
The trauma films.
Fuck trauma.
Fuck trauma. Oh, tell us before we get off the topic altogether, why you hate Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, because he's an obnoxious prick and just this entitled, smug, suburban shitheel from the word go, who talks down to everybody, manipulates everybody, walks around like he owns the goddamn place. Everybody acts like he does. And then society responded by saying, yeah, that's cool.
Thank you.
So I hated it. I got to tell you, I was 17 when that came out. I was a punk rocker. I was listening to the Butthole Surfers and the Circle Jerks.
Yeah.
I worshiped Gilbert and Sam Kinison and Howard Stern. And I finally, watching that film, I was like, okay, now I understand what it is to feel offended. I was offended.
Yes.
You had never been offended before.
Never.
That movie makes me angry.
Furious.
Because I feel like, no, this guy's a fucking asshole. Somebody should cut his throat open.
That's a little severe.
And in all fairness, I like Matthew Broderick. I think he's a good actor.
We had him
here.
I
think he's a very nice person.
Did us a solid.
But that movie was, I fucking hated.
I have to say, though, John Hughes was shrewd. You point out in the book that he changed the playing field.
He did. He gentrified
tell us how.
The neighborhood, essentially.
Yeah, tell us how.
16 Candles was rated PG-13, so that was... The first thing was had a very strong female heroine in Molly Ringwald, which expanded the audience. But it really, as I said, it gentrified the neighborhood. It turned what was a wild, sideshow-laden midway of unspeakable horrors and delights into Disneyland.
Right.
And then it just ran out of gas. Yeah.
And yet, I suppose those play better in the Me Too era.
Except for 16 Candles.
Except for 16 Candles.
And Revenge of the Nerds. So the book was supposed to come out a year before it did. And that's when the Harvey goddamn Weinstein scandal hit.
Uh-huh.
And the Me Too revolution took place. And
sure.
I said, I can't, as a 50-year-old married man, I can't say, hey, remember those movies we watched those cool dudes jerking off the girls in the shower?
And in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
There's a scene where, like, he pretends to be the girl's boyfriend. He puts on a mask and has sex, and you're going, well, isn't that kind of rape?
Oh, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, she says, well, now I know. She has this great revelation where she says, so nerds are really great at sex because that's all they think about, whereas jocks are really bad at sex because all they think about is sports. And I shit you not, Gilbert and Frank, as a 17-year-old, I lost my virginity to a cheerleader who wanted to test that theory.
Oh, my God.
We're breaking news.
And was she as highly disappointed as I suspected?
Infinitely more, as I suspect.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tell us a couple of things about some of these genre. Well, I guess they're it's a mixed genre, really, because there's a couple of pictures in the book that are have a horror element to them, like Teen Wolf, like our friend Larry Cohen's Full Moon High.
Yeah.
Or Once Bitten.
It was Once Bitten. Boy, that is a funny movie.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, Once Bitten, and so there are horror comedies of the 80s, of course, that are very popular, but those I thought of really were teen comedies first, horror films second. So that's why they made it in there.
Right.
And then there's stuff like Student Bodies, which is amazing.
It's a parody of a slasher movie,
Parody of a slasher movie written by Mickey Rose, who co-wrote Annie Hall.
Yeah, sure.
Directed by Michael Ritchie, who then took his name off it.
Wow.
But it is hilarious.
And Jerry, the great Jerry Belson was involved in that in some capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is hilarious. And that's really good.
And there's another movie that it starred a playmate. I forget which playmate it was, but it also promised a lot. Could have been great, terrible. And that was Hotz.
No, Hotz is amazing, Gilbert.
Yeah?
Hotz has a bunch of Playboy actresses in it.
Yeah.
From 1979.
Okay.
It has an incredible... So what you complained about with the mooning scene at the end of Private School,
yes.
Hotz does so right with a strip football game.
Oh.
Where both the rival sororities play strip football. They have to take their clothes off, and the camera, it's a one-of-a-kind shot in the history of cinema. This is like beyond Laszlo Kovacs.
Yes, genius. Yes.
As the girls topless are huddling, the camera is placed beneath them so that their faces and their boobs are hanging down into our faces through the camera.
I will have to revisit this.
Gilbert, you must reevaluate Hotz.
Yeah. Yes. I feel like Robert Osborne.
Yeah.
Starring podcast guest, Danny Bonaduce.
There you go.
Oh my God!
As a cool guy with long hair and he plays the guitar and stuff.
I went through the book and it's filthy with our podcast guests. I mean, Paul Sand and John Astin are in Teen Wolf 2.
Yes.
Stuart Margolin turns up in Class. They're all over the place. Tim Matheson's in what was that, Summer Camp?
He's in Animal House, Up the Creek.
No, the one before Animal House, or the one he made in 78.
Almost Summer.
Almost Summer.
And have you ever done a count of how many of them had games in the title, like ski, tennis, baseball?
I will now.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Yeah. And so many of them had some kind of sport.
Yeah.
In the title.
Yeah. Well, that would have locker rooms, so that would
absolutely
make for some great Gilbert Newton.
I like the ones that are just shameless ripoffs that don't even try, like Fraternity Vacation.
Yeah.
And hot and my favorite, Hot Times at Montclair High.
Oh yeah.
Oh, God, where
there isn't even any pretense.
So Fraternity Vacation stars Stephen Jeffries.
Oh yeah, from Fright Night.
Fright Night. He was Evil Ed in Fright Night. He was the chronic masturbator
in Heaven Help Us.
And he was Wendell Tevet, the nerd in Fraternity Vacation.
Very good.
Opposite Tim Robbins as Mother Tucker.
Tim Robbins.
And but do you know what Stephen Jeffries' second career was?
I'm stumped.
He was a power bottom in gay porn throughout the 90s.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, no.
And this is true. He now tours the autograph circuit.
I'm going to hang myself with my belt.
There's a movie where he does that.
And one more thing, getting back to Private School, there's a scene where Phoebe Cates, I guess, was already trying to fight the nudity thing in her movies.
Right.
So there's one scene, she's having sex with a guy on the beach, and it is so obvious there's a large piece of masking tape over her breasts.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you know Phoebe Cates' nude debut, Gilbert?
Paradise.
With Willie Ames. And do you know what country that film came from?
Oh, let's see.
Israel. It did. I was right.
That is
Hooray
an Israeli
for the Jews.
it's a Blue Lagoon knockoff, right?
And I remember in that, and Phoebe looked great in there.
Yeah.
She's under like the waterfall and
you remember it perfectly. Yes.
And I also remember she sang the theme song.
She sure did. She sings the private school theme song,
yeah,
too.
Oh yeah, and for paradise, it's when I'm with you, it's paradise. No place on earth can be so nice. Beneath the crystal waterfall, I hear you call.
Wow, you're going to have that composer on, Frank?
Yeah.
I'm dialing him up now. Yeah. Dara left. Dara jumped. Dara's climbing out the window.
Yeah.
8 floors up.
Shimmying down the drain pipe.
Somebody actually thought, well, let's rip off the Blue Lagoon. Make a film that's not even as good as The Blue Lagoon. Yeah. Which is, I want to ask about Rachel, your lovely wife's, Rachel had did 2 reviews for the book.
She did, yes.
Yeah, Foxes. And
Foxes and Little Darlings, yeah.
Yeah, 2 movies I kind of like,
yeah,
I have to say.
Foxes is a really good film.
It's good,
Adrian
it's smart.
Lyne film.
Yeah, Adrian
Lyne. Smart, serious,
yeah,
a great snapshot of sort of wayward youth in L.A. in 1980. Little Darlings, I liked it. People ask me, you know, could any of these movies be made today? The short answer is no.
You can't
the
make Little Darlings.
The long answer is fuck no. Little Darlings stars Christy McNichol and Tatum O'Neill as summer campers who have a contest to see who can lose her virginity first.
Yep.
That is on the poster. It says, the bet is on. Whoever loses her virginity first wins.
Yeah.
The characters they are playing are 14 years old.
Oh.
Yeah.
But, oh boy!
But even as tawdry as all of that is, it's pretty competently made.
No, it's a good movie
with good performances.
Yeah, and there's something to it. Yeah,
yeah, because, it has some substance.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I mean, there's a slew of good movies in the book. I mean, Risky Business we talked about.
Risky Business is amazing. Yeah,
Fast Times you love, and you got to did you get to talk to Amy Heckerling?
When she was up there, I was at the podcast. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, yeah. Flamingo Kid's a good movie. Certainly, Gregory's Girl, My Bodyguard.
Yeah. Yeah, all these. Yeah, you're hitting the quality there, Frank.
Heathers. Yeah, I mean it's interesting because it was the genre was pliable enough that
yeah,
you know, you could run the gamut from Give Me an F to something like Heathers.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It was that durable.
It was that moment. Yeah.
When you sat down to watch them, were there two sides of the same coin? This question. Were there any that you were pleasantly surprised by? Just going into it thinking this is going to be a horror show, and oh my gosh, it's pretty good.
Well, I had actually seen almost all of them in the past, but
you had.
I was pleasantly surprised by Say Anything,
mm-hmm.
because I remember like not loving it, and then being annoyed for 30 years by the iconography of John Cusack with the boombox.
Right,
the boombox. But it's a very good film. You know, a really good teenage romance film with great performances and acting. And so that was a pleasant surprise.
And on one page here, you have just 4 of the movies with the title, with the word hot. Hot Pursuit, Hot Moves, Hot Chili, Hot Splash.
If you turn the page, Hot Resort.
There's about 8 more.
Next.
I had no idea until I read the book. There were like 8 Meatballs movies.
Oh, there are 4 Meatballs movies.
4 Meatballs.
Not connected.
Right.
And completely, except for 1 and 3.
Okay.
And three stars, Patrick Dempsey and Sally Kellerman. He plays the grown-up Rudy the Rabbit, the winner, who is Chris Makepeace in the original, who is a complete loser. Sally Kellerman is a porn star who dies.
Of course she is.
And she's going to go to hell, but she has one last chance.
Oh, I remember that.
This was a USA Up All Night classic.
Yeah. Well, when you say
she has to get him laid.
Oh, and on the next page, there's hot T-shirts.
A Chuck Vincent film set in Westchester.
Is there hot Kugel? Hot Kugel.
That's from Israel.
Also from Israel.
There's a movie, and in the poster, it's girls holding those sticks to operate a video game. They had their fingers wrapped around it, and it's called joysticks.
Oh, joysticks. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Those sticks.
Yes. Talked about that.
Now, did this have anything to do with, say, a girl wrapping her hand around the guy's penis?
Not
You're
at all.
You're making a leap there. Yeah.
Not
joysticks
at all.
Is hilarious. Joysticks is a very funny movie.
Conversely, I was that was a two-part question. Was there anything that you thought, oh, this film has a good reputation, I'll be safe here, and you were completely disappointed?
No, that was the crazy thing. I didn't see anything that I didn't like.
Interesting.
I mean, I did. I saw some terrible movies. There are hot times at Montclair High is god-awful.
Times at Montclair High.
There's another terrible film called Getting Wasted with Dennis Quaid, David Caruso, and Stephen Furst. It's like a military academy comedy, and I say I hope every character in that movie got killed in Vietnam.
Okay,
it's
so that
set in the 60s. Yeah.
So that one would qualify.
Yeah, Getting Wasted.
Now,
yeah.
Now, how many movies had the word balls in them?
Hot balls.
Okay. Hot balls never happened, unfortunately. Now we can do it. We can finally make the Gilbert
combine
Godfrey
them
entry. Yeah. You have meatballs. You have oddballs.
Beach balls.
You have screwballs, beach balls, fireballs.
Yeah.
I think that's the balls.
And these were all made in Tel Aviv.
Many of them are
Canadian. They're Golden Globus.
Well, that's Golden Globus is who made Lemon Popsicle.
Of course
and then
they did.
Remade it as The Last American Virgin with the same director, Boaz Davidson.
Hilarious. You know, you mentioned Sally Kellerman and Dennis Quaid, and another thing that struck me is how many good actors, how many respected actors turn up in these things. I found Slim Pickens, Diane Ladd, who we had here.
Yes.
Karen Black, Christopher Lee, Ruth Gordon, Robert Morley. These are all...
Robert Morley,
for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
These are all...
Slim Pickens, we want to say, appears in the film Pink Motel, which is dreadful.
He sure does.
He plays the owner of the Pink Motel with Phyllis Diller.
Oh my God,
that is dreadful.
That strikes you. I mean, it's like that. Yes, you understand Tim Robbins, a young actor who's right. not really accomplished anything, or George Clooney turns up right. in a couple of these things.
Yeah,
you understand young actors trying to get a job. But what's sad is to see Christopher Lee and Sally Kellerman and
sad. I don't know.
Diane Ladd.
I find it a chuckle. What's great though is in the the amazing colossal universe. You have Rose Marie, who is in Lunch Wagon.
Yes, she is. She is in Lunch Wagon.
Joe E. Ross is in both Slumber Party 57 with a young Deborah Winger.
Okay, Gil. That's for
and
you.
And in Gas Pump Girls, where he co-stars with Hunts Hall, who owns the gas station.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a movie. I don't know if it's like Bikini Something. Which
there's
must,
a few of those. Yeah,
yeah, there must be about 1,000 of those with Bikini in the title. And it had Frank Nelson, it's you again.
I think that's the original Bikini Car Wash. I think he's in that, yeah. I think that's the one. Or it's the Malibu Bikini Shop.
Yeah, amazing. And thank you for putting Ron Friedman, our friend Ron Friedman's Record City, in the book.
Oh, yes.
With Frank Gorshin.
Shot on video. Yeah.
Yes.
And Frank Gorshin is also in the movie Hot Resort, and he gets a special credit at the beginning. It says, and also starring Mr. Frank Gorshin.
We're going to plug the book here. Mike, it's a lot of fun. By the way, it's got there's a little blurb on the back from somebody named Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, yes.
As well as our pals Alan Arkin and Patton Oswalt. How about that?
Yeah.
And Eddie Deason wrote a chapter.
Eddie Deason wrote a chapter.
Oh, former podcast guest, Eddie Deason.
You have some wonderful contributors in there, including Rachel, obviously. Where can people get it?
Amazon is a great place to get it. It's $19 and you can have it tomorrow. But if you get it from my publisher, Bazillion Points, you also get a demerit badge, which is a little sort of...
You get a demerit badge.
Boy Scout patch that's a pair of tidy whities, and it says, I ejected from teen movie hell.
Gilbert, can't resist that.
This is the blurb I wrote. This book is good for people who like teen movies and gratuitous nudity. I am those people, Gilbert Gottfried.
Well, thank you, Gilbert. Well put. Yeah, and I'd like to think we helped a little bit. At least we helped you with Eddie and Amy and
tremendously
and Arkush, right?
Yeah, least no, this we could, is amazing.
The least we could do. And let's plug your other book, too, which is still available, Heavy Metal Movies, which is invaluable. You must get it.
Same deal. Bazillion Points is the publisher. Amazon is the evil corporate overlord that delivers books to you tomorrow.
And can we bill you now as we sign off as Mr. Mike McPadden?
Please, yes. and also Mr. Mike McPadden.
Special guest villain.
Yeah, he was Mr.
Mike McBeardo.
He was Mr. Frank Ocean because he's the only one who worked before that.
By the way, Night of the Comet and Real Genius, also two good ones.
Great movies.
That deserve.
Especially Real Genius is a
real good. Written by Pat Proft, who we're going to try to get on the podcast.
Wonderful guest.
A funny guy. Great book. Congratulations on finishing it.
Thank you so
much. I know all your projects are a labor of love, and we want to thank you for all you do for the show on Facebook.
Thank you for doing the show.
Which is a lot. And we hope we get to see you soon here, pal.
Yep. I'll be in New York showing The Last American Virgin at the Alamo, Brooklyn on August 18th.
Fantastic. Well, we'll have this up well before that. All right, Gil.
And we have been talking to Mike McBeardo McPadden.
And the book?
Teen Movie Hell.
Mike, we love you. Thanks for being patient.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you.
We'll push the book hard.
Thank you so much.
Oh, that could be the title of a teen movie. Pushing the book hard.
Balls. Balls.
And spread pages.
Talk to you soon, pal.
Thanks a lot. Take care, guys.
Pity those who wait, trust in love to fate, finding out too late that they've lost it. Never letting go, they will never know the ways of love. Got to believe in magic. Tell me how two people find each other in a world that's full of strangers. You've got to believe in magic, something stronger than the moon above. Cause it's magic when two people fall. All I need to know is this feeling. Handle it with care. We were born to share this dream, my love. Got to believe in magic. Tell me how two people find each other in a world that's full of strangers. You've got to believe in magic, something stronger than the moon above. Cause it's magic when two people fall in love.